Well, good morning. Good to see you here today. Thanks for coming and joining us. It's a big weekend for us, a lot of us. For me, it was just hanging around the house. But for you, probably a big weekend. If you graduated from high school or college within the last couple of weeks, but especially this, maybe yesterday, Friday, could you stand for us, please? We'll just acknowledge you all at once. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. But I know you're there. There you go. Yeah, very good. Thanks, guys. We did acknowledge that, of course, on graduation Sunday, but we know a few of you weren't able to be here for that. Just want to recognize it was a big weekend, and maybe you're in for that. Had a big service this morning, first service as well, and many of you know Grace Kibe. Grace has been out for 3 months, made it back to church this morning for first service, so we were really happy to see her. And she was in a wheelchair, so she's still got to work back towards walking, but we're happy to do that. Just neat to be able to celebrate those family things, aren't there? Isn't it? I use English most of the time. Sorry. Also, we have the Bullocks back with us today. Are you here? Thank you guys so much. We haven't seen you guys since the middle school, right? Happy they're coming up from sort of Nashville area, Tennessee. A beautiful area down there. Lived there for a little while, and so happy to have you guys back with us today. Thank you. Welcome. Glad you're back. Chris and Courtney are here from Scotland. How far did you come to get to church this morning, and were you late? They came last night from Scotland. I'm sorry. You moved to England. You're in England now. So great to have you guys. Always great to point you out and make your face turn red every time you come. So it's neat to be able to share in a wider family, and you know I wanted to mention that to you this morning because you know we talk about these connection cards that are still staring you in the face on the back of the seat in front of you, and we do that not because you know we're not you know you walk through a shopping center and the T-Mobile guy grabs you and tries to get all your details is really annoying. We don't mean to be annoying, but it's actually one of the first ways we can actually connect with you. And I'm amazed at how many people come to church for weeks or even months and have never given us their information. It's really hard to reach out and say, we missed you, or, you know, glad you're here and get to know you a little bit better and keep you informed. So I encourage you to do that. It's more than just a information gathering. That's how we get to know one another. And if you're here and you're part of this, we are a family here, and we want to get to know you. And so perhaps, even if you've only been coming a couple of weeks, if you notice somebody that you know, hasn't been around for a while, give them a call and say, we missed you. You know, this is, we're here to build a family together. And that's more challenging the more we grow. And God's blessed us with growth, but we don't want to lose that, do we? So welcome. We're so glad that you're here. One family that we have today that I'm going to come over and grab your microphone, Chad. One family that we have with us today, this is their last Sunday. Daniel and Leanne Smith, if you guys could come up with your family. For us and stand, they're so excited. I could see that on their face as soon as I said, come up front. That's okay. Appreciate you guys being here today. Daniel is taking a pastoral position in North Carolina at a church there, and this is their last Sunday with us. I didn't realize that this day was going to come so quickly. I thought maybe you'd be here all summer. This is not all their children. They have 12, 15 of them back in the back somewhere. too, but we want to hear a little bit more about, okay. So I'm going to put you on the spot because you're going to be in, a pastor, yeah, so you, look, he brought notes.
No,
this is awesome.
This is something I just did five seconds ago.
No, but can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be up to?
Honestly, I would talk about the ministry. It's just an opportunity to serve at a small church in the country with people who love on you and want to be loved on, and I just wanted to say, with Nathan talking about the family of God this morning and us singing about Lord, I need you, it reminded me of when we first came to Watermark. We needed God. We were struggling through some things. Some of you know more, some of you know less, but we were struggling in different ways, and God sent us you. We struggled, and you guys provided in different ways. So I just wanted to say, if you help me with a job and you help me learn a craft, if you also help me with a job and you help me learn a craft, or you just gave me an encouraging word in the hallway, if you helped my kids when they spilled something out there, if you helped my kid get some hot cocoa after I told them no 3 times and they just came to one of you, if you just gave me a smile and a good morning in the hallway, you know, it's made me feel like part of the family here. And what more could a Christian ask amongst believers? So I just want to say thank you, Watermark.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys. Really do. Thank you all for that. Would you do me a favor, if you're able, could you stand with me? We're going to pray over them and send them out. Almost a little bit like a Timothy-type situation. Really happy that you're going to be able to serve another church, and we'll have that connection with the sister church, right? Brothers and sisters that we don't know, but they're part of the family, and want to have God's hand blessing upon you guys as well. So if you'd like to, you can't put your hand on his shoulder or their shoulder, but you can reach out your hand if you want to bless them while I pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this family. We thank you that you brought them here to Watermark and what you have done in their lives and in our lives since their coming. Father, you have us all on a journey, and we recognize this morning that while this journey does take the Smith family away from us and to North Carolina, Father, we know and we still count on the fact that they continue to be our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they're going to minister with brothers and sisters in Christ in another state. And Father, we trust you to go before them, give them a way of peace, provide for all of their family needs, provide for that church, Father, for growth and encouragement and support in their community. Father, we know that your kingdom is much larger than just this place, these four walls, these people that we see in our tiny part of the world. Father, you are the Lord of the church worldwide, and we trust you to go before them and help them to find their next chapter in your kingdom, Father, that your hand of blessing would be upon them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah. Oop. Almost kissed you. God bless you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. So, if you haven't had a chance to give their kids a cup of hot chocolate before they leave, if all of you do it, they'll be riding high this afternoon. Appreciate you guys coming up and being part of the church. It brings a tear to our eye. We'll continue to pray for you. You know, there are physical traits that I've inherited from my parents that I have no choice in. And maybe you feel that way sometime. It's just part of your DNA, isn't it, when you grow up or when you are born into a family. I think my physical parents probably takes after my mother's side of the family a little bit more. I don't look too much like my dad. But we've all known sons, haven't we, that have been the image of their dads. You see them as they're growing up, and you think, wow, that looks a lot like... Or, you know, daughters who are the spitting image of mom. Happens all the time, and it's intriguing to us as we see that, but we're not surprised by it because it often happens, doesn't it, in families like that. What's more interesting to me is the other human traits that we pick up from our families that may really have not a lot to do with our genetics. We have seen those folks. I don't know if you've ever seen a couple who starts, a married couple that starts to look like one another. Or to have the same laugh as one another, or the same mannerisms as one another. Have you seen that before? And of course, we assume they weren't related, you know, when they got married, right? They haven't inherited that by genetics, but it's just a part of them becoming more and more like one another for the time that they've spent with one another. And of course, we know children begin to take on, even if they don't have a resemblance to mom or dad, they can take on the sort of mannerisms and the things that go on in a family. We know that to be true even of adopted children who are brought into the family by the grace of God. They become more and more like that family and take on those traits as well. It's amazing, really. We've been learning what Scripture teaches us about adoption as sons and daughters of God. And our theme verse comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And this is Paul reaching back in the Old Testament and taking a scripture that God explained himself and what he was doing, and Paul's applying it also to the New Testament, the New Covenant, Jesus Christ and his kingdom as well. It says this in chapter 6, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians. This is God speaking. He says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You know, I wonder, is it possible for us who are now, if we are Christians, sons and daughters, to be images of God, to begin to take on his characteristics? Is it possible for us to begin to look like Jesus? We're not quite sure what he looked like, but maybe not so much in the way that he physically appeared here on the earth, but the way he looks at life, the way he looks at the world, the way he acts within the world. Is it possible for us to become such a part, to become so familiar with Christ that we pick up on him and his traits as his sons and daughters? You know, the first week of the series, we read John's words to the church in 1 John chapter 3. If you have your Bible or a device that has a Bible app on it, if you don't mind turning there, 1 John chapter 3, that's where we're kind of going to be this morning. And in verse 1, this is something we read in the very first message of the series. John says these words: "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." And we actually stopped there when we read this verse. You may not have noticed that back in week one, but there's a second half of that verse, and it continues, he continues on. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. John brings it up here in his letter to the church again today. When we become followers of Jesus, we will, John says, by definition, be different from the world. And that's going to invoke a reaction from the world. It will happen if we follow him faithfully, if we try to be more like Jesus, if we try to become more like him, as we are called to do, we will becoming more and more different from the world, and the world will react to that. And let's face it, you know, some of the first reactions we get from people that we know that are not Christians is that we are somehow a little fake. And it probably seems that way to people who know us too well. You know, before I came to Jesus, I lived a certain way. I was a certain way. Once I come to Christ and I have my sins forgiven, and then I begin to live a little bit differently, talk a little bit differently, behave a little bit differently, and some people interpret that as hypocrisy. And we can be accused of that, and I'm sure you've become familiar with that. Sometimes we feel like a whole church is full of hypocrites. And the fact is, you're kind of right, because we're just trying to figure this out and live a little bit differently now. If they don't think we're fake, they think we're weird. And that's okay. We try to encourage one another not to be too weird. But, you know, just by being different from the world, we're going to be a little weird. And so we don't need to add to the weirdness by being especially weird. I'm trying not to look any of you in the eye, because I'm not trying to. There's weirdness, and then there's weirdness. But it's going to be a little different to those who don't understand what it's like to be in a relationship with Jesus. We're weird, we're fake, and some people quite literally will hate us for being different than the world. Because if there's anything about the world, we use this word conform. There is no kind of pressure from the world like the pressure to conform, to be categorized. And when we begin to swim against that flow, it's noticeable, and not everybody likes it. There are people that will hate that. There are people groups that will hate that. There are entire religions, maybe even countries, that will hate us for being Jesus followers. But there's one thing for sure. When we are different from the world will not be indifferent toward us. It can, and maybe even it should, be noticeable. And John tells us that we're different because God is different. Isn't that the story, Genesis through Revelation? Isn't that the whole point all the way through? is that the world that you and I know, the way it is now, is not really what God had in mind. God created a good world, and God created us to be in this good world and to cooperate with him in the running of this good world in a good way, and we're the ones that aren't so good. And year upon thousands of years, as we progress down our progressiveness and we become more and more like the world that we are diverging more and more from who God is. God is, by definition, different from the world, isn't he? And now that we belong to him, now that we've come to him and we're sons and daughters of God, we're supposed to be naturally more and more like him, just like a kid in a family that picks up on mannerisms at least. We're naturally becoming more and more like him. And this fallen world that we're living in won't recognize it or understand it, and sometimes they'll downright hate it. You know, when we were raising our daughters, often we chose to explain some of the things, some of the ways in which we were different from the people around us. At this point, we were living in Australia, and we had to sort of reason why it is that we didn't want to just say, because I said so, because that's what every parent said. So one of the things Dawn and I did is try to help our girls to understand that this is who we are as a family. There was a little program there in Australia called, it was kind of a surf swim training. It was called Little Nippers. And it was a great example out on the Australian beach. And you can imagine in a country like Australia, you know, teaching someone to swim is one thing. Teaching them what surf conditions are and the safety that they need to understand, currents, right, and rip tides and some of the different things. And that's exactly what Little Nipper was. Great program. It still is a great program. But Little Nippers is only held on Sunday morning. We don't do it any other day of the week. So our girls missed out. They learned what little knowledge we had about understanding some of the movements of the water and being safe. And they all grew up strong swimmers, and they can deal with coastal waters. But they missed out on that. And when we were describing that and helping them to understand why it is that they couldn't join all their friends who were down at the beach on Sunday morning, we explained to them, because this is who we are. Now, not everybody, I realize, has that decision on a Sunday morning, but for our family, this is who we are. Church attendance is not going to get us to heaven. But, you know, I was there as a missionary, as a local pastor, and this is who we are as a family. God comes first. And so our commitment on Sunday morning is to this. And if there are other ways we can get that done, we will do the best we can. And we did. But we needed them to understand there's a strong sense of family identity here that we need to explain some of our family choices. And it helped them to form their own identity in that context, so that as they grew older, they could consider what values that they would have and what life that they would live. You know, it's no different from each of us as we come to faith in Christ, as we identify ourselves as sons and daughters of the King, what we've been talking about. We begin to form our spiritual identity, don't we? With his standards, not ours. Our standards or what led us to fall on our knees before him to begin with. It's his standards that count now, and we want to become more like him. John says the reason the world does not know us is because the world does not know Jesus Christ. And so what he's really saying is, as we get to know Jesus, we will become more like Jesus. That's kind of the point. Look at verse 2. Beloved, we are not God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Excuse me. Here's the thing about being a Christian. you know, we become more like Jesus every day, Lord willing, if we're going to spend time with him and spend time in his word and prayer and thinking and looking at things a little bit differently. We become more like him, but we never fully become, do we? We never get it perfect. We never get it perfectly. I'll use the correct English there. We never get it perfectly. We know that. We're okay with that. But we are going to try to become a little more like Christ tomorrow than we were yesterday. Because this is our family identity in him. We want to become more like him, even though we can't be completely like him. But when he appears, we will be like him because we shall see him as he is. Isn't that an amazing thought? I don't know what Jesus looks like. You know that little portrait you get in some churches, you know, I'm not even going to describe that photo, but you know what I'm talking about. It's politically incorrect to describe it the way it really is, but ethnically, that probably isn't very accurate. We don't know what Jesus looked like. I don't know what Jesus looks like in that sense, to take a portrait of him. And even if I did know that, do I really know what Jesus will look like when he returns as his glorified self? We shall see him as he is, and when that happens, he will transform us. And what does that mean? I don't know, because I haven't seen him yet. It's something to look forward to. But we can anticipate that we're going to have resurrected bodies. That's what Scripture tells us. In other words, let me put this to bed for just a moment. This idea of sitting on a cloud and playing a harp for all eternity sounds pretty boring to me too. That's not what it's going to be. We aren't this disembodied state forever either. We are told very clearly in Scripture that we will have bodies. And one of the strongest reasons that we can conclude that is because we were created with bodies. It's just that the bodies we will have will be like Jesus when we see him as he is. He's going to transform us. And we get clues about this all over the New Testament. Paul says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We have this to look forward to, that Jesus will make us whole for eternity. I don't know what that entails. To be brutally honest, I hope that I lose some weight in that body. That's too hard to do here. I'm quite certain that he can grant that if he really wants to. Or not to wear glasses or contacts, which I have since I was in grade school. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, to have 20/20? Or better yet, to not have grief anymore. To not struggle with my own weaknesses. To not have to fight against the temptations that I find in this world that are all around us all the time. Maybe even understanding what it all was for. Some of these questions that go unanswered while we're still here living this life. Asking questions I've always wanted to ask. Experiencing even just the presence of God in a way that we've never experienced before. As sons and daughters, we are becoming more like him here, but we will also have the promise that we will one day be transformed into his likeness as he prepares us for eternity. And John goes on here, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He goes on to say, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So he begins in verse 1, if you're keeping track here, in verse 1 he begins by telling us who we are in Christ. And by verse 2, he tells us who we will be in Christ, which is amazing. And finally, in verse 3, he tells us who we should be in Christ. When we find our identity in Jesus and we receive the promise of eternity with Christ, it should naturally lead us. Let me start again. When we find our identity in Christ and we receive the promise of eternity with Christ, then it should naturally lead us to intentionally live for Christ in the here and now. And as sons and daughters, we try to purify ourselves as he is pure, knowing that purification really comes on a daily basis, sometimes minute by minute, and it comes not by our own power, it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. It's his job to help us to be more and more like Jesus every single day. Now, wait a minute. It can sound like behavior modification. Like all we're after is being good little boys and girls. Like we want to change our behavior. Well, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us as Christians saying we want to live better. We want to live more like Jesus. We want behavior modification. But as long as behavior modification comes from the right perspective. Because we don't change our behavior to earn salvation. We're told in the Bible Jesus provides it to us freely. It's grace-filled. We don't do anything to earn it. And we don't do it because we want to go to heaven. I want to be a good little boy or a good little girl. I want to make sure that the weight, you know, system, I do enough good to outweigh the bad. That is rubbish. Because it's given to us freely. We don't earn that either. But we change the way we live because he's made us a part of this family, and that's who our identity is. It's Jesus. And as sons and daughters, we want to love Christ for what he has already done for us, which means living for him in the here and now in what we do. There was a story told of a teenage girl who was hanging around with her friends one weekend night, and they got the idea they wanted to visit this place that was a little notorious for allowing underage teens to get along with all sorts of illicit activity. I'm trying to keep everything PG-13 here. They wanted her to go, and she refused. She said, no, my father wouldn't like that. So one of her friends, kind of making fun of her, what do you think, he's going to punish you? And her response was, no, I think that's going to punish him for me to do that. As my relationship with Jesus matures, and it's ongoing, I realize that I'm no longer changing my behavior simply to avoid wrath. I'm also changing my behavior because I want to love him well while I'm here. I should be motivated by that. That should be what calls me into it. I want him to know how much I love him and appreciate what he's done. I want him to show it's made a difference for me. And the way I show him it's made a difference is because I want to change how I'm talking, how I'm looking at things, how I'm responding to other people, how I'm loving well while I'm here. That's the best way to thank him, to show him that I'm a part of this family, that even though I'm adopted in, I'm starting to pick up on the family traits of Jesus. And when all said and done, and we get to the end of this, not just the end of our lives, but the end of everything, John writes these words in Revelation 21, chapter 3. He says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." When have you heard that before in Scripture? We've been studying that all the way through, haven't we? We've been talking about how God wants to make his family here, wants to make us daughters and sons, wants to adopt us in, wants to have his presence with us. The only difference is now we're talking about after time. This isn't a reference. What John is talking about here is eternity already, that we're already there in the future. This is where God brings everything to a close. And he says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, his sons and daughters. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You know what the former things are? You're living it. These are the former things. All the stuff that you walked in here with on your shoulders, those are the former things. When we get to that place where Jesus has ended all things, taken his rightful throne, initiated eternity, welcomed his sons and daughters in, and given them transformed bodies to spend eternity with him, when we get to that glorious place, these former things are going to be forgotten. We look forward to that, don't we? And in the meantime, between now and then, we have these lives to live. Very short in comparison to all eternity, aren't they? But they're ours. Our lives to live. So for you this morning, you personally have a decision to make. Because Jesus has invited us to come into his family as adopted sons and daughters. And the only way that that can happen, since he has done everything to make it happen, is for us to accept it. For you to accept it. So have you accepted what he's offering? He's offering to forgive your sins, everything you've ever done. He's offering a new life in Jesus that will make it possible for you to live for him here and now. And he's offered you eternal life with him forever. That's what he's done for you and for me. And if you haven't done that, it would be our privilege to help you take the step that so many of us have taken and receive mercy ourselves. And if you have been adopted as a son or a daughter of the King, then are you acting like it? Do you sound like it? Do you sound like him? Do people see you and say, you know, I think that might be a little bit what Jesus was like? It's not just about abandoning your former life, saying, I don't want to do those things anymore. It's about embracing the life of Christ in you right now. He wants us to accept our family identity and live this abundant life in Jesus. He wants that for us. He wants us all to start acting like him and sounding like him. And maybe today it's the moment that you take that next step as a son. You take that next step as his daughter, sons and daughters of the King. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so thankful to you that Scripture is so clear to us. We don't always understand everything. We don't always get it right in our own lives, Father. And we thank you for the gift of the church, where we remind each other as we gather together on a Sunday morning or wherever we do, that we are less than perfect, but we are committing ourselves to becoming more like Jesus every day. So forgive us, Father, where we fall short. Forgive us where we need to act and sound and look at things more like Jesus. But Father, we know your Holy Spirit is alive and well in each one of us as followers of Jesus, and I pray that you would help us to recognize where we can take on the mannerisms and the perspective and the attitude and the traits of our Savior. And Father, for those of us in the room who've never decided to accept what Jesus has to offer in the first place, I pray that today, in this moment, you would help them to move into this relationship, to accept Jesus as Savior, to profess their faith, and to become sons and daughters of the King. Father, we leave all this in your hands. We know that these good works, even those things we intend to do, Father, they're nothing without your presence and your working. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to be released, Father, in a way that draws us to the risen Jesus Christ this morning. In his name we pray.